Life is a story. Make yours a bestseller. Well, let me tell you, Jeff Berardelli of WFLA's chief meteorologist and climate specialist has been named the top local TV meteorologist in the country by many. But in our town, he is the person who protects us, saves us with his crack team. Welcome, Jeff, to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to become a meteorologist, and this is the second time that you have been in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so I've been interested in the weather since I'm 3 years old. I mean, as far as I can remember, I think my mother got me my first thermometer when I was three, my first weather radio when I was five. So it's been a lifelong journey for me. I've always wanted to do this and nothing else, and I still love what I do to this day. I went to Cornell for my undergrad, got a degree in atmospheric sciences, so essentially meteorology. And then only several years back, I went back to Columbia University and I got my master's degree in climate because the climate is changing so quickly and I wanted to make sure that I had the background I needed to inform and educate my viewers.
And you have a passion for fishing, boating, and also for your little guy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, yes, I love being on the water. I love boating. I love fishing, kayaking, but it's been a long time since I've done that. And one of the reasons is I have a 2.5-year-old little girl named Gracie, who obviously has become my life and my wife's life as well. So we're busy with her 99% of the time when I'm not actually at work and working for the Tampa Bay area.
Tell us a little bit about the team that you've put together and that some you inherited, some you put together, and why they're the best in the business.
You know, the truth really is they are. I have such a great team. One of the things that comes to mind is teamwork. My team is always willing to step up when needed. And I say that, but I never even have to ask them. I mean, oftentimes when help is needed, people just volunteer on my team. We have a lot of experience, you know, in the Bay Area and in Florida. And that's, I think, what's necessary when it comes to hurricane seasons. And, you know, obviously things are changing, right? I mean, it's May and we're sweltering already. That's the experience we bring to the table.
And, you know, surviving the storm, it's everyone's responsibility. But when the storms hit, you know, you're always on. I mean, just recently, just watching the roofs blow off, points west, just up Ormelton Road. I mean, you guys were on it. It's not just hurricane season that needs the best crack team of meteorologists anymore. It's all year round. Tell me a little bit about how weather is really more of a challenge now than ever.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously weather is getting more extreme. We see that day in and day out. What I look at my job as, it's not just giving you the weather forecast, because to be honest with you, you can get a weather forecast from your app when the weather's not important, right? When the weather's not important and nothing that serious is heading our way, there are other places you can get your app. I look at your forecast. I look at my job as an educational job, a job where I provide the information needed to give perspective to everyone who's watching so they can put this stuff in context. And that is every single day of the year that I work on doing that, when the weather's sunny or when it's stormy.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, you have help from USF, and there's an incredible team there providing support and research on so many fronts. And I know that you're in the schools as well. Tell me a little bit about how the weather and the warming of the water is really going to be impactful this hurricane season.
Well, water temperatures across the Atlantic are incredibly hot. And I do mean like record hot, but not just by a little. And it's not just the whole basin when you average it out. It's every one of the basins within the whole basin. So the main development region, which is the eastern tropical Atlantic or the central tropical Atlantic, the Caribbean and the Gulf, all at record levels right now. And the thing about when you warm the water, it is a pretty direct A to B to stronger storms. The warmer the water is, the more energy that's available for these storms to get stronger. Now, they don't always get stronger because there's other things in the atmosphere that dictate the strength of the storm, such as, let's say, dry air or wind shear. But all things being considered equal, you take a water temperature of, let's say, I don't know, 84 degrees, and then you take another water temperature of 88 degrees, you can bet that the water temperature of 88 degrees is going to make for a much stronger storm. So that's what we're concerned about.
And flooding is become an all-year-round issue. It's odd as the waters have changed. You know, it used to be a Miami issue. We see it down in Shore Acres, but now we're seeing it during the year. Talk a little bit about that from your point of view.
Right. So I lived in South Beach while all that flooding was going on. I lived there for about 6 years as a meteorologist in Miami. And I watched as, just every day, just non-weather driven events would deliver a foot of water into the streets of South Beach. A lot of that driven by extreme high tides, with obviously sea level rise adding about a foot of water over the past century or so in and around the Miami area. And that was causing flooding. We call it sunny day flooding, where you would, it would just be on high tides when you had a decently strong east wind. Miami had to spend about $600 million plus dollars to raise the streets a couple of feet all around South Beach and put pumps in to pump the water back out. Now, they have a slightly different problem, which is the water comes up from the ground, not necessarily over the seawalls. But, we're going to start seeing water inundate our streets, and we're already seeing it, obviously, in places like Shore Acres or Sunset Beach on Treasure Island. There are other places as well. Bottom line is our sea level here in Florida is rising faster than a lot of the rest of the world, partially because of warm water expands. So that actually causes sea level to rise. That's part of the reason why we've seen sea level rise over the past 50 years. And obviously the melting of glaciers is a part of it too. We're seeing that part accelerate, and that's going to be the predominant part in the coming decades. And by about 2060, we're likely to see at least 12 to probably 16 inches of additional sea level increase due to climate change, to be honest. And then by the end of the century, it'll probably rise at a faster pace. In fact, it will, because it's already doing that. It's already accelerating. And by the end of the century, it's conceivable it'll be close to 3 feet, maybe between 2 and 3 feet, but it really depends on how unstable Antarctica and Greenland become as we head towards the end of the century.
Well, Jeff, we're so lucky to have someone who is not just a meteorologist, but a climate specialist. And I think one of the things I like best about you is that you are going into the schools on a regular basis and you are educating our children. What are some of the tips you give to kids when you go into the schools?
Well, every talk is different. It depends upon what the teachers want me to educate the kids on. And I often talk to younger kids. So I do talk about climate change when it's kids over the, let's say fourth grade or later. If it's younger kids, that's not something that I think, they would really understand. So I just try to educate them on science. And I think, having a solid science foundation is really important because, look at the life that we have now. I mean, you may think it's better or worse than it was 100 years ago because technology can also complicate people's lives. But we owe our modern lifestyle to science and the belief in and trust in science, which has been eroding. So I think it's important to just make sure that, you're providing science so that kids have a firm educational foundation as they grow older.
I love that. What can we do here in Pinellas County in the Tampa Bay area to help stem climate change, Jeff?
Well, look, we can adapt as much as we want to, but we really have to stop burning fossil fuels or at least slow that down. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, about 70% of the warming is due to the increase in greenhouse gas emissions from the burning of fossil fuels. The other part of that is land use changes. Obviously, we've been changing the way we use land. We've been chopping down trees. There aren't enough trees to suck in the carbon dioxide. Bottom line is, we can keep adapting, but it's going to cost us. I mean, insurance companies already don't want to do business here, and that's because of two things. Number one, it costs a lot to build homes back to the specifications that they need to be built back to today. The cost of materials and labor has gone up tremendously, but insurance companies also know that climate change is making hurricanes stronger. And they are built on a model of a certain amount of strong hurricanes per given, decade or two decades. When that starts to increase, and it is going to, they know that they're in trouble, that their ability to make money and to charge the rates they need to make money is in jeopardy. So I think we have a existential crisis here in Florida in terms of the ability to pay our insurance, and then at some point the ability to get mortgages because insurance will be very hard to get or extraordinarily expensive. So from various aspects, plus, we don't want to face down extra major hurricanes, which we will be in the future as we continue to warm the waters. So the bottom line here is that, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No. Look, you asked what Florida can do. Well, we have to adapt, but we also have to lead by example because, everybody has to do a part, right? I mean, it's obvious that it can't just be Florida reducing its fossil fuel consumption. It's not just the U.S. It's got to be the world. Everybody has to be a part of it. You know, every other country can make the same excuse that we're making. Well, you know, China. But that's not how problems get solved. Excuses is not how you solve problems.
It's excellent advice. Jeff, you are probably going to be doing a special. I know that you've already started doing storm hurricane preparation. June 1st is hurricane season. Although we know enough to know that sometimes it's before June 1st and sometimes it's after, you know, November 30th. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up on air with you that our locals can learn from.
Yeah, a couple things. So first of all, we have a hurricane special coming up this weekend, June 1st. So hurricane season is literally days away now. So you can watch that on WFLA. Also, every day I do something called the Berardelli Bonus, and that is specifically to educate my viewers, go in depth on some big weather or climate issue. Yesterday we talked about the Central American heat wave, which is off the charts, a drought in which Mexico City may run out of water by the end of June. I mean, we're talking about some serious emergency situations down there. 150 monkeys have died because they're dropping out of trees because it's so hot in Central America. And we're on the northeastern side of that heat dome, which is why it's so hot here. So every day I pick a different topic for the Berardelli Bonus. It airs at around 5:47 every day. And we go in depth on what's behind some major and extreme weather or climate situations around the world. So that's another way in which I educate.
And, you know, you can go online to the website, and you should definitely, you know, sign up for the news alerts from the station. You should definitely have that app on your phone for the station, and you can look up the Berardelli alerts, right, and the background.
Yeah, Berardelli Bonus.
Berardelli Bonus. And, you know, even when your TV maybe goes off during a hurricane, you can tune into the radio station because you guys then simulcast on a number of places. Isn't that correct?
That is true. Yep, we work with iHeartRadio. We have a partnership with them. And so if by chance you don't have the ability to watch us on TV or on your cell phones, then you should be able to listen to us on the radio.
Jeff, we thank you so much. What's your message to the community, Tampa Bay, in preparation for June 1st, the start of hurricane season?
Yeah, this is going to be probably the worst hurricane season that we've seen. I don't know if it'll be specifically for the Bay Area. I'm not saying that to scare anyone. It's just that all of the factors are lining up for what is likely to be an extremely active hurricane season. We just hope, of course, that we don't get hit directly. But if I were to prepare any year, this would be the one I'd be most prepared for.
That is Jeff Berardelli. He is the chief meteorologist for Channel 8. And we thank you so much for being here today with Radio St. Pete.
Thank you for having me.